many of you really think about the word like food? You know, to be really honest, most of us are a lot more diligent about the natural food than we are about our spiritual food. We really don't spend the time with it. And, you know, this gets back into some of that inside-outside things, but for instance, the prayers of Israel at morning, and at noon, and when the sun goes down. I mean, you know, they recite prayers. The Amidah, the standing prayer in the morning, is lengthy. And really, it's all reciting the Word of God, primarily. You know, there are rabbinic things said about it. But one of the things that I've seen, they've got some good points. Now, here's the problem, you know. And they admit this themselves, that they can recite it without thinking about it. It's possible. But I just got to thinking that, you know, if we really had that same desire for the Word of God that we do for other things that we desire on this earth, how it would change us. And it would change us where? On the inside. It would change us on the inside. 3 John chapter 2, or chapter 3 John verse 2. If you can find chapter 2 in 3 John, boy, you got a different Bible than I got. We've been repeating this scripture over and over and over again, and my desire is that every one of you, by the time we finish this, in fact, long before we finish this series, you'll say this: God's will for me is that I prosper and be in health, even as my soul prospers. Would you like to say that with me now? God's will for me is that I prosper and be in health, even as my soul prospers. And if you begin to meditate on that and think above it and think about the fact that His will is that above all things. You know, God put His people here on this earth to show them. I know sometimes that gets out of hand, that people can get into showiness themselves, wanting to show off. But God put His... How many of you ever showed one of your children's pictures to anyone? Huh? Did you? Do you want to see some? How many of you have ever done that? Is there anybody here that hadn't done that? Ever taken a picture of your child and said, this is my son, this is my daughter, my new son, my new daughter. You know, even those little baby pictures that I've got to tell you that even the cutest aren't always that cute, you know. Some of them, you know, what is it, the old Winston Churchill syndrome? You know, they all look like Winston Churchill when they're born. Well, not quite. Some of them are a lot cuter than that. But why? Because we love our children. And I believe God wants to showcase us. I really believe that in fact, that's what He told Israel. I want the world to look at you. The nations will see you and say, what nation has a God like that? What people has a God like that? So how does He do that? Well, we have a God that gives us His teaching and instruction. And through that teaching and instruction, He has ordained the blessing. The blessing. Now, how many of you deserve it? Could I see the hands of all of those that deserve the blessing? Well, you might raise your hand and say, yes, I do, because Jesus made me deserving. But of yourself, there's no justice at all in this. And so when we talk about this area of God wanting us to prosper and be in health as our soul prospers, it's not because we deserve it. In fact, I'll show you today that you obviously don't deserve it. There's only one way that we've come to deserve it, and that's because we've been made deserving. When we were made righteous, we were made deserving. But that came through what Yeshua did and not through what you did. Amen? But now that we are made deserving, how much more should we desire to carry on in this life with doing those things which show forth the goodness of God through obeying and keeping His commands? We'd want to do that, wouldn't we? It just makes sense that you'd want to. And so as we talk today, I want you to kind of keep that in mind. God has made provision for us in every way, spirit, soul, and body. for prosperity. And Deuteronomy 8:18, I'm going to review quickly. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is He that giveth thee power to get wealth. Now here's a confession for you. What would you say about, how could you make a confession out of that? God gives me power to get wealth. And you might even start up here and say, I remember Yahweh my God. I remember Him. Because that's really what we need to remember as we have power to get wealth, is remembering where it comes from, right? He has given me power to get wealth. And why did He do it? Because He wants to establish His covenant on the earth. We talked about that last week, the establishment of the covenant. The covenant is established in us through God's prosperity being seen. That's why people will see it and they'll fear. And they'll say, what God is there like? What nation has a God like this nation? Think about it. Somebody said one time, if God had a refrigerator, He'd have your picture on it. Yeah, big refrigerator, huh? Well, we used to sing a song that says, Jesus has a table spread where the saints of God are fed. To the hungry calleth now, O come and dine. So I guess if He has a table, He must have a refrigerator, right? If He had a wallet, your picture would be right inside of it. Amen? And that's what we need to think. That God's given us power to get wealth to bring forth a sign to the world of His covenant and His goodness. God's a good God. And that's how He shows it, is by showing His people the supernatural endowment of the blessing. I have the blessing. And the blessing enables me, endues me with power to prosper, to go ahead, to advance. Amen? Amen. And we talked about this. You know, there's a lot of people always want to tell you, well, that's spiritual, Pastor. That's a spiritual thing. That's only talking spiritually. Well, you know, you have to be disingenuous. Now, there's a word for you. You normally only hear that in politics, don't you? You have to be disingenuous. What does that mean? What does it mean, Tammy?
It's false.
Yeah, it's false. You've got to have false motives to even say something like that if you read the Scripture and establish what you believe by the Scripture. The Scripture tells us very clearly that God prospered Abraham in every way, made him very rich. And he had herds and flocks, had cattle, he had gold, he had silver. He had so much gold and silver and flocks and herds that when he sent a gift for the bride's gift that he sent with Eliezer when Isaac was to receive his bride, it was a wagon train. And that was just what he sent. That didn't even talk about what was still in his basket and his store back in the land of Israel. So God has a tremendous material blessing as well as a tremendous spiritual blessing. We said that to be rich is good. And we've got to break down some barriers in our minds, because a lot of people, you even say rich to them and they immediately begin to think corrupt, don't they? But to be rich is good, and to be poor is bad. Not sinful, but bad. It's not good. How many of you enjoy poorness? How many of you enjoy being in want? Really enjoy that? Well, you say, well, God's just chastening me. No, He's not. The devil's stealing from you because you don't know what belongs to you. The thief comes not but for to steal, kill, and to destroy. But it's bad to be poor. Now, it's bad to be greedy, too. Greed is bad. That's the love of money. And that's a root of all evil. So we need to stay away from that. We looked at Deuteronomy 28 a little bit, because we wanted to find out what Galatians 3:13 meant. Galatians 3:13 says, the Messiah has redeemed, say redeemed, has redeemed me from the curse of the law. We talked about the blessing. This is the curse of the law. Being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth upon a tree. Did Yeshua hang on a tree? When he, this is one of the things that I have a little problem with, to tell you the truth. You know, the cross idolatry almost that some people get into. I'm not against the cross. We have a couple back there, and I hung one back up behind the screen. And we recognize it, but the cross is a torture stake. Do you understand that? And it is a sign of the curse. And you need to really realize that. It's difficult to come up with an icon or a sign of what Christianity is. The fish was the one the early church used, was the fish. Of course, that fish over there is grafted in with the menorah, and together they form the six-pointed star of Israel, Magen David, the shield of David. We have a thing that somebody made for us, because I said one time about this, I said, really, the best symbol of Christianity is an empty tomb. That's the best symbol of Christianity, is the empty tomb. But the point is, you need to understand that when you think about that old rugged cross is a sign of the curse. It's every bit as wicked as a dagger or a sword or a machine gun, flamethrower. Something that destroys. That tree destroyed and took away the life, the physical life of our Savior. And it wasn't done accidentally. It was done because cursed is everyone that hangeth upon a tree. He became a curse for us, and through becoming a curse, He redeemed. He purchased us back from the power of sin. That's what it means. He took us back from the power of sin, and the price was His own life hanging on the tree. And all of the physical suffering that He did, as bad as it was nothing to be compared with the separation from God. And brothers and sisters, you need to understand that in the final analysis, all the suffering you could do here on this earth is not anything compared with what Gehenna, the lake of fire, is going to be, because it's going to be eternal separation from God. It'll be a horrible, horrible thing. But Christ has redeemed us from that. Amen? And the reason for that is because He wanted to redeem us and give us freedom and clean us. Give us righteousness, holiness, healing, long life, and prosperity. Didn't He? All of those things is what He gave us. And we looked at that. Galatians 3:14 says, it calls it the blessing. The blessing. The blessing of Abraham. You can read about what that was in Galatians 12, or Genesis 12 and 22. It says that blessing might come on the Gentiles. What are Gentiles? Well, technically, if you just took that word and translated it the way it's often translated, it would just be the nations. The nations. Anyone other than Israel would have been Gentiles. It came to have a more derisive term as time went on. But generally, it just meant the nations. And really, God's will, according to what He said, was that the nations might see. That the nations might be blessed. Through Abraham's blessing, right? All the nations of the earth. So that's the nations that we're talking about here when it says they might come on the Gentiles, on the nations through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through trusting or through believing, right? And the 29th verse of Galatians 3 says, and if ye be Christ, then you are Abraham's seed. And we've all determined that last week, that we belong to the Messiah. We belong to Christ. We're His. We belong to Him, and we're Abraham's seed. And because we're His seed, we're heirs just like Isaac was. Amen? Abraham gave everything to Isaac. And it's coming right on down. The blessing is still alive today. Amen? God's words never fail. The words that I speak unto you, Yeshua said, they are spirit and they are life. They will not fail. God cannot fail. He never changes, and His word never changes. Now, last week we began, and we're going to finish this very quickly today, we began looking at the blessings that come on us through obedience. Now, I have to say this again as we go into this. Is it simply because of obedience? No. Is obedience still incumbent upon us? Yes. But do the blessings come on us because of obedience? Not all of them. They couldn't even get started on you. Why? Because, listen to what it says here. First verse, Galatians 28, verse 1. Or Deuteronomy 28, verse 1. Excuse me. Deuteronomy 28, verse 1. It says, it shall come to pass if, say if, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God to observe and to do all his commandments, which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all the nations of the earth. Anybody here today qualify? If you qualified specifically on what it says for now, have you always qualified? Because that's the only way you can truly qualify, would mean that you had to always hearken diligently and always done everything perfectly to observe and to do what? All. Now let me ask you this. Those of you that now are Torah observant, how many of you believe that you keep all? Huh? Well, you know, I talk to people all the time, and I'm talking about Torah people, and they'll say, I didn't even know that was in the Bible. And how many of you know that there's things that all of us don't know about what's there? Are you keeping it all? The best Pharisee couldn't keep it all. The best Sadducee didn't even want to. We can't. So it's not strictly. What we have today is not strictly because of this, is it? No, it's because we've been redeemed from the curse. Because right here in this first verse, every one of us comes under the curse. We're not perfect. Are we trying? Yes. Is God looking for people that try? Yes. What is He looking for? People that move toward, that come into, and when He reveals something, when you see something. You know, even the way we raise our children. You know, we try. How many of you tried to raise your child the best way you knew how? Wow, yeah. We want to do it right. But, you know, if you really get right down to it, we've listened to somebody, haven't we? Other than the Word of God. Old Spock, he got in and he just really messed things up. He started to tell us we'll bruise their personalities. Even the way we eat. I try. But, you know, I'd have to tell you right now, I don't know. There's everything I'm not sure about. Some of the things I read, I say, well, I'm trying to do it. I'm trying to do it the way I believe it's right. But do we get it all done? No. No. Do I want to? Yeah, I do. I want to do everything that pleases Him. How many of you want to please Him? That's the key. I want to please Him. Now, that doesn't say, okay, well, just because God, I want to please Him, God knows my heart and everything's okay. No, that means we have to keep moving toward. Amen? Because you're going to find some things as time goes on. How many of you know this is about change? It's on change. Where are we going to change first? On the inside. Change me on the inside. Change me on the inside. That's the key, isn't it? And so here we've got it. Now, do we have these blessings? Yes. Yes. But it's because of what we read before that we've been redeemed from the curse, that the blessings might come upon us. So let's look at the blessings now. And all these blessings shall come upon thee and overtake thee. God daily loads us with benefits, doesn't He? Isn't that what the Scripture says in the Psalms 68? It says, if you shall hearken unto the voice of the Lord your God. None of us do that perfectly. But is He still loading them on us? Yes. Why? Because of Galatians 3:13. Because we've been redeemed so that the 14th verse says, so that the blessing might come upon us. Now these are the blessings. All these blessings will come upon you. Verse 3, blessed shalt thou be in the city. I said last week, when I go to Denver, I'm blessed. Blessed shalt thou be in the field. When I come back to Grand Lake and I'm in the country, I'm blessed. Amen? When I go out to Strasbourg and drive around, I'm blessed out there too. No matter where I go, it's either field or city, or country or city, isn't it? I'm blessed. I believe God calls the suburbs still part of the city. Don't you? No matter where I go, I'm blessed. So what kind of a confession would you make out of that? I'm always blessed. I'm always blessed. I'm blessed going out. That's what it says, isn't it? Let's read. It says, blessed shall be the fruit of your body. Blessed shall be the fruit of your ground. What's the fruit of your body? What? Children are the fruit. Blessed. My children are blessed. Blessed. My children are blessed. And great shall be the shalom of my children. They're blessed. My children are blessed. The fruit, the things that I sow. What do I get to sow? Because it's talking about the fruit of the ground. Well, a lot of us aren't farmers anymore. But this was an agrarian society. They talk mainly in that. But what was their sowing? The fruit of their labor. Whatever they invested their labor in. It was blessed. Are you blessed? Yes. And you can go ahead and begin to say that about yourself. Whatever I do. When I work, I'm blessed. And I bless everyone around me when I do it. Amen? Remember, the blessings come after us and overtake us. We talked about it last week. The big blessing truck coming along. Do you have a blessing truck? You don't? Sure you do. You got to watch out for it because it'll run right over you. You just be walking along minding your own business and your blessing truck will come along. Beep, beep, boom.
I think she just recently got hit by it.
Did she? Yeah. It always puts a smile on your face. Makes you feel good when you get blessed. Amen. But it's a blessing truck. Amen. You need to think that God's... That's what He says. I'm in hot pursuit of you. Surely goodness and mercy are in hot pursuit. So we're blessed in the field. Our fruit of our body is blessed. We're blessed in the city. The fruit of the ground is blessed. The fruit of the cattle. Fruit of the increase of the kine. Flocks of the sheep. Blessed shall be your basket. We said last week, that's your checking account. That's your checking account. Unless you keep it under the mattress. Right? That's your checking account. That's what you do business with on a daily basis. Right? And your store. That's what you've got stored up. Somebody said, oh, I never store anything up. You know, I don't. Who told you you weren't supposed to? God says you'll have a basket and you'll have a store. I believe we should be storing stuff up. In fact, I was watching Larry Huck last night and they have the poor box on their Shabbat table. And every one of their children, all of them, put something in the poor box. Every Shabbat, they're putting something in their box. I don't think they call it a poor box, but it's a box to do good with. They put money in to give. Money to give to someone, to help someone else. Wouldn't that be good? Don't you think all of us ought to have a store like that? I've told you that I always try to carry $100 bill folded up in my wallet. Now, $100 isn't much anymore, but sometimes it comes in handy to someone. And sometimes I'll see someone and God will tell me, give them that $100 bill. I always try to keep... That's just a little bit of store that I have, right? But the other part of your store is your savings account or your investments. What you're investing. Is it wrong to do that? No. Now I have to tell you, God may tell you sometime, take it all out and give it away. You believe that? Well, I only want to take a certain amount out. No, He may tell you to take it all out. How many of you have said this? It all belongs to You, Lord. But how many of you really believed it? It all belongs to Him. That's what we need to do. Our basket and our store. Verse 6 says, blessed shall you be when you go out, come in, and blessed shall you be when you go out. Coming and going, at all times I'm destined to win. Amen. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. The blessing can be seen. How many know that? Remember I said God wants to show us off? The blessing can be seen. The blessing can be seen. If you're endued with the power to succeed, and that power is actually manifest as an anointing, isn't it? The anointing of God to succeed. It says here that in verse 7, it says, the Lord shall cause your enemies that rise up against you to be smitten before your face. They'll come out against you one way and flee before you seven. Do you think that can be seen if the enemies of God come out against you and they see you and they come out just from one direction and all of a sudden they're split and they're going in all directions? See, that's more than all of the four directions, isn't it? Seven different ways they'll flee to get away from you. Why? Because of the blessing. Can be seen. You'll always triumph. You're always victorious. Now, the Bible says the Lord shall command the blessing upon you in your storehouse. Verse 8. And all you set your hand to. And all you set your hand to. Now, what's the deal on that? You know, how many of you would say, you know, I've set my hand to a few things that haven't prospered? Any of you ever make a bad investment?
Done it with the wrong hand.
Wrong hand. That's probably right. And again, it comes back to the inside. What did the Lord tell you to do? What did the Lord tell you to do? See, we're always trying to make just a nice, easy, external change that we can make out of things, but it's always got to come from this inner man. What God says to do. And you know, there's a lot of people putting their hands to things God never blessed. Amen? We always want to say, okay, Lord, I'm going to do this, now bless me. What should we do? Lord, what do you want me to do? And then, you know what? It's kind of like Sarah Palin said about what Abe Lincoln said. Do you remember what she said? She said, we shouldn't pray for God to be on our side. We should pray to be on God's side. Amen? We should always try to get involved with what He's doing. And I guarantee that if we get to that place, whatever you put your hand to will prosper. Amen? You notice that it says He'll command the blessing upon your storehouses. That sounds like multiple storage places, doesn't it? Doesn't just sound like one little clay jar that you hid in the earth, does it? It sounds like something you put out. You need to always remember what the Lord said about the talents. Put them to work. Put them to work. Get them doing something. You want to get something out of this? You're going to have to be consistent with it. You know, this hit and miss idea that I can come once in a while and get blessed and everything will be hunky-dory? It isn't going to work that way. We've got to be consistent to keep this before us and continue to do it. If you want healing in your body, what are you going to do? I'm just going to quote one scripture. That'll do it. You may have to quote one scripture 5 times a day for 6 months. But you know what? If you'll keep doing it and keep believing it and get it on the inside of you, write those words in your heart with your tongue. Amen? I'm borrowing from Charles Capps. It'll become a reality in your life. Amen. The 9th verse says, the Lord shall establish thee as a holy people unto Himself as He has sworn unto thee, if you keep the commandments of the Lord your God and walk in His ways. There's an if, isn't there? We need to always be putting Him first. We need to be putting His Word first. We need to be keeping it in the place. Verse 10 says, and all the people of the earth shall see that thou art called by the name of Yahweh. Whoa! Think of that. Well, I just want to hide off in a little corner and be monastic. Monastic. I want to go to a monastery and hide and have a retreat always. Is God calling us to retreats? He's calling us to advances, isn't He? I'm not saying there's anything wrong with a prayer retreat or anything like that, but I'm just telling you that most of our time, we're supposed to be being seen so that the blessings of God can be seen in us. It's a powerful witness. A powerful witness. The 11th verse says, the Lord will make you plenteous in goods. Plenteous in what? Well, Pastor, I think that just means spiritual things. Now, how could you read that and say that? Does it mean spiritual things? What are goods? What are goods? Stuff. Things. You remember Matthew 6:33 says, all these things will be added unto you. And what's he talking about? Food, clothing, housing. We can go ahead and add automobiles, pickup trucks, whatever you need, things. All God only said all He's going to give us is our needs. How many of you believe that? God only promised our needs. How many believe that's what the Scripture says? Well, let me just give you what it says in Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I shall not want. Is it possible to have wrong wants? Yes. Just like it's possible to have wrong desires. Right? But the Scripture tells us how to get it in Psalm 37. That if you will delight yourself in the Lord, then He'll give you the desires of your heart. The obvious connection here is that when you delight yourself in the Lord, your desires become His desires. Is He able to do that then? Every time. If you're delighted in Him, there's nothing. No good thing. Say no good thing. No good thing will He withhold from them that walk uprightly. The blessing of the Lord maketh rich and addeth no sorrow to it. Amen. So here we're looking at all these blessings that we've got. Why? Because we deserve them? No, because Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, that the blessing of Abraham might come on us. That's why. Because we've been redeemed. Because we're redeemed. He says in verse 12, the Lord shall open unto thee His good treasure. How many of you think there might be some good treasure in heaven? Huh? Yes. I believe there'd be good things in heaven, don't you? Like when the Lord commands His blessing. Where does that come from? Comes right out of heaven, doesn't it? He commands it. He's opening us the good treasure of heaven. He's commanding. How many of you think when God commands something, it means more than just when somebody else does? I think it does too. I believe He's talking about an overabundance. Listen to what He says in the 12th verse. He said, He shall open your good treasure and give you rain upon your land to bless all the work of your hand, and you shall lend unto many nations and not borrow. How many of you consider yourself lenders? I've done a little lending. How many of you would like to be able to do more? I'd like to do more. And you know what I'm talking about? That's a great business. If you're doing it with a Gentile, the Bible says you can go ahead and do it for interest. But I'm not talking about for interest. I'm talking about I'd like to be able to lend more to people just because I have it and be able to give it to them and help them out whenever they need it. And you know, anytime I lend to someone, and I think everybody that I've ever lent to knows this, I always, when I lend it, release it. And if it never comes back, I've lent it to the Lord. Amen? How many of you know it will come back? The Bible says if we take care of the poor, we lend to the Lord, and the Lord will repay. Amen? That's a good thing. So we're talking about going from owing, say owing. How many of you know about owing? We're talking about going and moving on. This is called prosperity, progressing. We're going to advance from owing to owning. From lack to having. Is it God's will? Only if you believe the Word of God. Amen? It's God's Word in His Word. And that's what He says. We'll lend and not borrow. I don't want to borrow to you. Did you know borrowing costs a lot more than buying for cash? Even at 3%. You don't get much 3% money anymore. That's what they want to give you for years. Or less. Right? You shall be above only. That means you just keep getting higher. Above only. And not beneath. If thou hearken unto the commandments of the Lord thy God. We'll always be moving up, always progressing. It's time for promotion. We're supernatural. He sets us on high. He took the curse and left us the blessing. But what about the curse? Now, I'm going to show you something. From here to here, and I didn't put 14 in, but that's the blessing. And I've got just a couple of notes written along that. That's the curse. Now, I'm not going to go through all of it. And a lot of people, you know, ministers like to use the curse. I don't know if you know that. But there are some ministers like to read the curse to people because it's intimidating. You control people with fear, don't you? I want you to know right now, I'm not putting any of this out today, not going to bring any of it out because I want you to be afraid of the curse. In fact, I want you to get real interactive with me about this curse. Because God's spelling it out. What happens when people choose to disobey Him? Unless you choose If you're born again, unless you choose as a born again person to go back under the curse, I don't believe you'll do it. And you choose it by what?
Turning back.
And the Bible says if a person does that, he can't even be renewed again to repentance, right? So we're not talking about something that's for you. But I want you to hear the curse today, at least parts of it, for the purpose of rejoicing. How many of you think you can keep that in mind when I start bringing it out? And you're going to be interactive with me, right? You're going to be interactive. And if you're not, I'm going to teach you how to be interactive with me, right? So we're going to read a few things. And I'm going to just start out reading at the 15th verse of Deuteronomy 28. And I'm going to read it out of the Message Bible because it has a nice flow. In fact, if I'd have taken this out of any other translation, it probably would have been longer than what I showed you. How many know that? So this is the way it looks in the Message and the way it sounds. Starting with verse 15, Deuteronomy 28. Here's what will happen if you don't obediently listen to the voice of God, your God, and diligently keep all the commandments and guidelines that I'm commanding you today. All these curses will come down hard on you. God's curse in the city, God's curse in the country, God's curse on your basket and store, God's curse on your children and the crops of your land, the young of your livestock, the calves of your herds, the lambs of your flocks, God's curse in your coming in, God's curse in your going out. God will send the curse, the confusion, contrariness on everything you try to do until you've been destroyed, and that means utterly. I believe that's talking spiritual death. And there's nothing left of you. All because of your evil pursuits that led you to abandon me. What do you have to say about that?
Wow.
Boo! Say, not me. Not me. That's not for me. Praise God. That's just think, all of that bad stuff is not for us. Why? Put it up, Galatians 3:13. Read it. Galatians 3:13, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law. I just read some of the curse of the law right here, didn't I? And Christ has redeemed you from it. Woo! Glory to God. Man, that gives me goosebumps. To know I've been redeemed from all that bad stuff. You know, I spent a lot of my life being fearful about those things. Being afraid that some of these things are going to come back on me. Now, let me explain something to you. The devil will do his level best to keep you feeling that you're cursed. And all he has to do is remind you that you don't deserve it a lot of times to get people to say, well, you know, just yesterday I blew it. I didn't keep some part of Torah. I asked the Lord to forgive me, but I know once you've broken the law, it's broken. But Christ hath redeemed me from the curse of the law, being made a curse for me. Says here that you'll be infected with disease, starting with verse 21. Disease will wipe you off the land. Says you'll have consumption. Does anybody know what consumption is? Doc Holliday died of consumption. Tuberculosis. In fact, some of the translations put tuberculosis in there. It said you'll die of consumption and fever and rash and seizures. You know, I got to looking at rash. You know, what's rash generally a sign of? An irritation, and you know, there are different reasons for it, but what is it that causes the most rashes nowadays? What?
Stress.
Stress, that's probably true.
Allergies.
Did you know that allergies are generally accepted in our population? In fact, listen to people. My allergies. I've got the deed right here. Belongs to me. Things bother me. I'm like the princess and the pea, and any little thing can bother me and take me down. You know, wasn't it time for us to realize that's part of the curse? How many of you believe it's part of the curse? Now, it may be a fact in your life right now, but what I'm telling you to do is we've got a knowledge, don't we? And what is that about the curse? I've been redeemed from the curse of the law. And so how about these rashes? How about seizures? People having seizures nowadays. More seizures than there have ever been, I think. And it's interesting. This says, and dehydration. That usually just means you're not getting enough water, doesn't it? Or you can't keep your water in, I guess. And blight and jaundice on you. That's liver disease, isn't it? Jaundice. Says they'll hunt you down and kill you. The sky over your head will become an iron roof. Said God will defeat you by an enemy attack. Said birds and animals will boldly feast on your dead body. This I'm down in verse 20. Boy, it's hard for me to see these. 25, I think it is. Birds and animals will boldly feast on your dead body. No one will chase them away. That's getting pretty bad. That's a bad curse, isn't it? God will hit you hard with the boils of Egypt, with hemorrhoids. You know, I asked a guy that supposedly knew Hebrew one time. I said, when they say hemorrhoids, is that hemorrhoids? No, that's something else. Well, according to Jewish publication, according to the Stone Edition, it's hemorrhoids. Many of you know those are pretty common nowadays too. We don't talk about them lots, right? But how many would agree that know anything about them that they are definitely a curse? Definitely a curse. You know what? What do you got to say about hemorrhoids and scabs and incurable itch? I have been, say it people, I've been redeemed from the curse of the law. I'm redeemed. I didn't deserve all of this good stuff, but God's given it to me. And because of that, I'm trying to keep everything He says. I'm trying to do what He says. I'm trying to walk. But I've been redeemed. It says He'll make you go crazy and blind and senile. And that's verse 28, I believe. You'll grope around in the middle of the day. A little further down it says, not a day will go by that you're not abused and robbed. No one's going to help you. That's in verse 29. Verse 30 says, you get engaged to a woman, another man will take her as his mistress. It's a lot clearer in some of the other translations what that means. It's talking about rape. It says you plant a garden and you never get to eat any of it. Not even as much, this says not so much as a carrot. Verse 31 says, you'll watch your ox get butchered. And you won't even get one ribeye steak off of it. You won't even get a hamburger. Right? What else? See, that's talking about your wealth, isn't it? Your ox getting butchered in front of you. Says your donkey will be stolen from in front of you. What's that like? Yeah, it's like a carjacking, only it's a donkey jacking. That guy jacked my donkey. Driving along and somebody just comes up and sticks a gun in your face and says, get off that donkey. That's part of a curse. And what do we say about it? What? I've been redeemed from the curse of the law. That's what this is. It's the curse of the law. This is not God's will for you. Now, listen, will the devil try to bring some of these things on you? Absolutely. What's he trying to get you to do? Say, well, must be God's will, God's punishing me, or God's teaching me. No. The thief comes not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. Yeshua said, I've come that you might have life. And you might have it abundantly.
He's trying to get you to say my allergies.
And that's what he's trying to get you to say. Talk about your things and the things that are yours. And act. You know, I'm serious. I don't think there's very many people I know that don't have some form of allergy that they're fighting. It's time to fight them off. Not have them. We've gotten to the place where, you know, we're so concerned about everything. And here again, it's trying to do everything on the outside. We'll do everything right about eating our food. I take nutritional supplements. Is it wrong? No, I don't think it's wrong. But you can sure get in a wrong attitude about it. Do you know what I'm saying? We can work on the outside, but we've got to get this down on the inside for it's going to work right. Amen? Amen? I heard just yesterday that Dagon, the god of the Philistines, do you know what that name literally means? Now, I haven't researched this, but the man that said it, I do have a lot of faith in his studying. He said that Dagon, the god of the Philistines, was really the vegetarian god. He probably set up at Whole Foods. You're hearing some things here. See, you know, we forget about this. Your sons and your daughters will be shipped off to foreigners. What do you have to say about that? Not me. I've been redeemed from the curse of the law. I've been redeemed. Now, see, you can't just get this by saying it three times while we're walking through church. And this is why I'm inviting you to do it, because I want your ears to hear, your inner ear to hear your mouth speak this. So everybody say it with me. I am redeemed from the curse of the law. Jesus redeemed me from the curse of the law. Why? Because most of us, we're willing to let a preacher say it and we'll nod. But you know, you need to say it. You need to say it. Every time something negative comes into your life, you need to begin to speak the blessing of God over it. Don't be overcome of evil, Jesus said. Or Paul said it, actually. I believe Jesus said it because he said it through Paul. Don't be overcome of evil. What did he say? Overcome evil with good. Don't be overcome by what the devil's trying to put on you. What did Yeshua do when the devil tried to put things on him? He hit him with a word, didn't he? He spoke it. I don't believe he just bowed his head and thought it. Do you? He said, it is written. I am redeemed. Say it. I am redeemed from the curse of the law. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Over in verse... It must be 37. Says you'll plant sacks and sacks of seed in the field, but get nothing. Grasshoppers will devour it. Says you'll plant and hold pruned vineyards, but you won't get to drink any or of the wine of it. The worms will devour them. Locusts will take over your trees and your crops. In verse 40. No, it's not 40. It's 42. 42. Some of you can help me that have bigger writing. Listen to this. It says, the foreigner who lives among you will climb the ladder higher and higher while you go deeper and deeper into the hole. He'll lend to you and you won't lend to him. Isn't that the way it's been? I don't know if you know it. When you go out and borrow money right now, chances are you're borrowing it from a foreigner. A lot of the capital in this land is coming from foreign places now, isn't it? He'll lend and you won't lend to him. He'll be the head and you'll be the tail. And all these curses are going to come on you, hunt you down. What do you want to say about that? A couple of you believe it. I'm starting to hear a little more. What do you have to say about it? I say, what do you have to say about it? If I was a Marine DI, I would say, I can't hear you. But I do hear you. Praise God. And we've been redeemed by love divine. Yeshua himself. Listen to what it says in verse 45. All these curses are going to come on you. They're going to hunt you down and get you until there's nothing left of you because you didn't obediently listen to the voice of God, your God, and diligently keep his commandments and guidelines that I commanded you. And these curses will serve as signposts. They can be seen also. What do you say? Say, I serve joyfully and thankfully. And here's why. Look at verse 47. Because You didn't serve God, your God, out of joy and goodness in your heart for a great abundance. How many of you have been guilty of being unthankful? How many of you know it's an important thing if you want to stay out of the curse not to be unthankful? We've been redeemed, but thankfulness is a part of it, isn't it? It's a part of our redemption. I tell you, that should be something we do every day. There were days for years that I did this, that I would look at this scar on my leg, which to me is a sign of the healing that I received from cancer. And I would just thank God. Just begin to thank Him. Now, I have to tell you, I haven't done it every day, but I still do it. I still stop from time to time and see this and say, I thank you, God. I wonder if maybe Jacob did that when he walked along. He had this place in his thigh. I wonder if he didn't see that as a touch from God, you know. Thank you, God. That was when I got healed. That's when I really got well. That's when you changed my name from Jacob, the supplanter, to Yisrael, a prince with God. If you drop on down a bit into about verse 51, talks about your animals and crops being destroyed. Says they'll leave nothing behind. No grain, no wine, no oil, no calves, no lambs, and finally no ewe. Message way of putting things is pretty direct, isn't it? First they take all your stuff and then they just do away with you too, right? It gets so bad that if you go down into verse 53, I think it is, says you'll end up cannibalizing your own sons and daughters. How many of you know that did happen in Scripture? That happened where people actually already have done that, and he says it's going to get bad. A lot of this has already happened to Israel, hadn't it? A lot of it's already happened. Cannibalizing. And then it goes into a whole story about how even the most delicate woman who wouldn't even hurt anything will eat her own child. She'll hide it like she didn't have it, so she'll make food out of it. And then eat the afterbirth too. I know it doesn't sound good. I want you to know it doesn't sound good, but it's not a threat. Why? Stand up and say, I've been redeemed from the curse of the law. Yeshua redeemed me from the curse of the law, being made a curse for me. Messiah has redeemed me. I am redeemed. Yeshua took all the curse. What did He leave me? The blessing. Glory to God. Let me read just a little bit more. It says, He'll bring you back and stick you with every old Egyptian malady. How many of you remember that one of the promises when they came out of Egypt, when He says, none of the diseases of Egypt will come on you. But the curse is that even all those diseases of Egypt, and how many know there were some pretty nasty diseases going on in Egypt during the curse time there? And yes, every disease and catastrophe imaginable. That's pretty bad, because I can imagine some bad things. How many of you have to take your mind into captivity so it doesn't imagine bad things, huh? Says that can happen. But things not even written in this book of the Revelation. And that's not talking about the revelation of Jesus Christ, that's the last book, but the whole book of the Revelation. God will bring on you until you're destroyed utterly. Why? Because you didn't listen obediently to the voice of God. Say it with me. I am redeemed from the curse of the law. Messiah has redeemed me. I am redeemed. Say it louder than you've been saying it. I am redeemed from the curse of the law. How many of you can hear yourself saying that? I am redeemed from the curse of the law. What are you doing right now, Bob? What are they doing?
They're planting seeds of faith in our heart.
Seeds of faith, the Word of God down in our heart. The psalmist said, He makes my tongue the pen of a ready writer. Your tongue, what does your tongue do besides stick out at people? It says things, doesn't it? It's what forms your words. I am redeemed from the curse of the law. And right here on my heart, I've just got it written again. What do we make our kids do? I will not talk in class. I will not talk in class. Write it 100 times on the blackboard. Well, we're going to write it over and over and over again on the blackboard of our heart or the whiteboard of our heart. Amen. Because our heart's been made white. Hallelujah. White as snow. We're going to write, I am redeemed from the curse of the law. Do you trust all the promises of God? All of the promises of God are yea. And amen to the glory of God by us. Every promise of God is for you. Every promise of God is for me. It's the blessing of Abraham. How many of you like blessing? Yeah. Praise God, your blessing truck's coming, Kimber. Watch out. Watch out, it's coming. Praise God. It's going to overtake you, Christy. It's coming after us. What are you doing? I'm writing it on the table of my heart. Messiah has redeemed me from the curse of the law. I'm redeemed. I'm redeemed. I'm redeemed. Over and over and over again, I can say it and believe it until something tries to get in on you. You know what's going to come up? That's right. It's going to be written all over that. And any time any pressure comes, you're just going to look at it and say, no, no, I'm redeemed. I'm redeemed from the curse of the law. If it doesn't pertain to blessing, it's not mine. Right? Has to pertain to the blessing. It's mine if it pertains to the blessing. Don't speak the curse. Watch your mouth. Really. Now, I'm going to challenge all of us today. I believe, you know, there are very few people that speak as much as they're supposed to. I believe most of us speak way more than we should. Do you believe that? I believe most of us speak way more than we should. And how many of you could say, you know, I could give you a testimony, I'm not going to, but how my mouth got me tripped up so bad that I thought I wasn't even going to get out of it. How many of you could give that testimony? I could. My mouth got me into trouble. And you know, over-talking things. Listen to me. Maybe something needs to be said. What needs to be said? The Word of God needs to be said. But just your opinion about things and what you see and your judgment about things needs to be kept inside. Amen? And if you're speaking judgment especially, you better be sure that God's directing you. Because I'd have to tell you that I don't believe it comes out much. Most of what God wants you to speak is blessing. Remember what He said? James said, out of the same mouth come blessing and cursing. So that doesn't work any other place. Out of the same well doesn't come sweet water and bitter water. So we need to watch what we say. How many of you believe you could get along with saying less? Amen. Now, how many of you believe it's going to be a challenge? Well, I'm challenging you today to say less. Listen more. And don't get angry. Amen? I'm challenging you. Say it again with me. I am redeemed from the curse of the law. Whoa. The blessings of Abraham are mine. Oh, praise God forever. Father, I thank You for a blessed congregation. I thank You for a group of people who know the truth. And the truth makes them free. They know it. They understand it. It's revealed to them, the truth. And You've made us free through it, Father. I pray, Father, that each of us, as we leave this place today, will recognize every time something starts to well up and we start to speak something we ought not say. Lord, put a watch before our mouth. Put a watch before us. And Lord, help us to be accountable to one another about this. Lord, if we do slip, we're not going to give up. If we slip once or if we slip 10 times, we're not going to give up. But Lord, we're going to be accountable. And if someone says, oh, whoa, what'd you just say? We're not going to get offended or upset about it. We're going to say, oh, forgive me, Father. Forgive me. Set a watch. Set a watch. Keep the door of my lips. Because Lord, we want to speak only those words that are good for edification. I am redeemed from the curse of the law. And now may Yahweh bless you and keep you. May Yahweh make His face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May Yahweh lift up the light of His countenance upon you and give you shalom. In the name of Yeshua. Amen.